The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello there and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. My name is Alex Dunn and in the company of Mr. Andy Holding, we're going to be looking ahead to a strong Sunday card at the Curra. Mick, Alistair and Mark will be your studio team on Sunday. They'll guide you through all of the action from the Curra as well as racing from Epsom and Musselburgh. Good morning there, Andy Holding.
Morning, Alex Dunn, how are you?
Very good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good. Looking forward to today.
Yeah, you were just saying off air there that you think this is a particularly strong punting card.
Yeah, I don't want to be too overconfident, too bullshy here at Curra, because it's not one of my lucky tracks, I've got to be honest. But I'm happy to put that right today, because I really do think there's some standout bets. It's a fantastic card.
Well, we've got some decent action anyway. I mean, there's some competitive handicaps. We've got a listed race, a Group 3 and a Group 2 to look forward to. In fact, two listed races. So there is some good quality action. Perhaps not the sort of the old names that we're used to, particularly in the group races and the listed races. A lot of them for two-year-olds, aren't they?
Yeah, a lot of these horses are probably not too familiar for punters at these shores, but I think they're going to be pushing their names through after today. I think there's some ones that they probably haven't paid that much attention to, which are going to become not necessarily household names, but... I think we're going to be talking about them a little bit more extensively after this afternoon, particularly the horse in the second race, I think that's a really, really good fillies contest.
Okay. Right, well, we'll touch on that in just a moment. We'll start with the 210. It's a fillies maiden over 7 furlongs. The betting makes it reasonably open. The betting also suggests that it's going to go to a newcomer. What do you think here?
Well, I think this is one of the first good betting races of the day. I'm going to kick straight off by saying I think the first three in the betting are all vulnerable. Particularly the favourite here, they put a horse called Erinaya in favourite, but to be fair, John Ox has had a year that he probably best want to forget for one reason or another. I don't know really now what's gone wrong with the master trainer, but I think he's probably had about, between 10 and 15 winners, which is an appalling return, and I don't think he's had a two-year-old winner first time up, so I couldn't back that with counterfeit money at 9-2. I mean, you know, given him the trends that he's had this year, you just couldn't have it. You've got then a filly by Selkirk running first time out for Dermot Well, tested well, judged by the breeding, she probably want a bit more cut in the ground. I don't think there's any forecast rain at the Curra today, so that's dodgy. And Sparrow, who's been put in at 5-1, beat one horse home on debut. So I think the first three in the betting here are all not exactly got enticing profiles. They arguably the form horse here is Jim Bolger's horse, Mulieta, who's had three runs, but she's got plenty of experience, obviously. She's got a great draw as well. Stall's always on the far side, don't forget, at the Curra over 7 and a mile. So she's going to race on that far side rail. And she brings the best form into the table, courtesy that fourth behind three very smart fillies, Avenue Gabriel, Ballybacker Queen and Callery. All horses have been contested group races subsequently. Avenue Gabriel, of course, came over to the UK the other day and quitted herself really well. And Ballybacker Queen has been dining at the top table all season. So she was up against it. Okay, she got beat 6 lengths, but still represents a form probably somewhere in the high 80s, mid 90s, early 90s. And, you know, you probably wouldn't take a horse who's going to be anywhere near as high as that rated to win this race. So I do think Mulieta's worth a few quid at 15-2. And the other one is the big eye catcher out of that My Titania race at Leopardstown. Now, I've got that race really good on the numbers. And My Titania, of course, runs in the Group 3 World Stakes in the next contest. And I thought Seacash ran a massive race on her debut. She was at the back door, turning into the home straight, and finished very strongly off the back of what was a good pace to only get beaten 9 lengths at the line, doing all her best work at the end. With that run under her belt, I'd expect her to improve. And 12-1 also looks a fair bet in the first. So my two against the field are Mulieta and Seacoast.
OK then, Mulieta and Seacoast in the 210 for Andy. The 240 is the World Park Stakes, a Group 3 contest for fillies over 7 furlongs. Now, you mentioned that you had a rather strong selection here, Andy. I'm going to guess it might not be the Ox Runner.
It is the Ox Runner.
Ah, you see. Man full of surprises.
I know, yeah, exactly. I pulled a rub out of the hat with this one. Yeah, My Titania. Probably one of the nicest fillies I've seen so far in Ireland this season. Unfortunately, she's also running against one of the others that I've marked down as a potential filly of some promise. And that is second favourite, Tara Fascia. But My Titania will deal with her first. Ran an eye-catching race first time out. Went knock-knocked about behind a horse called Velado, who's gone on to win a sales race subsequently. They were well clear of the rest. Good speed figure first time out. And then knocked the ball out of the park on the numbers next time out. Went running to an 84 on my figures at Leopardstown next time out. Stepping up in trip, in keeping with, of course, her dad, See the Stars. She looks a little bit like her dad as well. She's definitely got a lot of the family genes attached to her physique. And I'd expect her to improve again today. She probably could do it actually even with a furlong further, the way she was keeping on at Leopardstown, maybe a mile in time, but this is absolutely ideal. Ground will be lovely for her as well, fast ground. She's got a good action. I think she's a worthy favourite, but this is no pushover because she's up against Tara Fascia, who I've been waiting to run ever since she won at Galway, and again, run to exactly the same speed figure. I got an 84 for her at Galway, so the two of them are very, very difficult to split. I think the ground will suit this filly by Tia Filio as well. Got a beautiful, long, striding, flowing, gliding action, this Tara Fascia. So the yielding ground at Galway probably wouldn't have done her any good, but she still beat Ballybacker Queen, who I touched upon in an earlier preview. He's probably the benchmark to the form for both of these two fillies. Ballybacker Queen has been massively consistent all season long, and anything that finishes in and around or beats her, you know, you can rate them pretty confidently and solidly. So I do think this is a good clash between these two. I'll go with My Titania today because I just think she's got a little bit more upside, and she's run a little bit more recently than the Weld filly. And then don't forget Chicago Girl as well. I mean, I do think she'll outrun her odds as well. She was also ties in with Ballybacker Queen as well from the Murta camp. I don't think she's any, a 20-1 shot. I think the winner will come from one of those three, but I'll stick with the Ox filly. I'm not going to make him a nap today because obviously she's up against a good horse, but she's very close to the top selection today.
Okay then. So My Titania in the 240. The 315 is the next contest. It is the Blenheim Stakes, a listed race over 6 furlongs. And Gare heads the market for Aidan and Joseph O'Brien. What do you make of his chances, Andy?
Yeah, nice horse. Did it well, workmanlike first time out without, you know, setting the world alight. He just about got the better of a horse called Atlantic Sea, who ran at Dundalk on Friday and got beat, finished fourth in a maiden, albeit from a bad draw. Diamond Slatos has boosted the form with a win down in Tipperary, so mixed messages from that form. But he could do more than win and do it in the style that he did on debut. I don't think he's an even money chance here, by the way. I think he's overrated, and I think the second favourite he's underestimated because the win came at Listowel. But speed figure wise, there's no denying that Shining Emerald is the better of these two, just on pure numbers. He absolutely bolted up at Listowel the other day. He won by 16 then, so that takes a good horse to do that. I don't care what the opposition was like. But it was on heavy ground, and that's the only slight concern today. If there was cutting the ground today, I'd make Shining Emerald my nap of the day to beat Guerre. Because I think he's a horse of immense promise, but he's a big, strong son of Clodderville that hits the ground quite hard. And I'm just worried that, obviously not having seen the first two races, what the conditions are going to be like here today at the Curragh. If it's sufficiently okay, then I'd suggest Shining Emerald will probably beat Guerre. But as it stands, it is going to be a close match between the two. I'm going to stick, obviously, with Shining Emerald and go with my figures. If it does rain there today at the Curragh, then I'd make this maximum bet. But obviously I'm just going to have to keep an eye on the weather.
Okay, Shining Emerald in the 3:15. Should have interest, Andy. Do you know what guerre means in French?
I was never any good at French at school.
It's actually war.
Ah, right.
Anyway, a cultural podcast from William Hill. Right then, next up. The 3:45 is a handicap over 6 furlongs. And to the untrained eye, Andy, looks a bit of a pinstickers job.
Yes. Interesting that Tom Segel, fresh off the back of two winners yesterday in the Racing Post column, has gone for Machete Mark. Can certainly see where he's coming from there. He does like Gerlines. Stably tipped Saxo Jack, of course, last Saturday at Newbury. Very unlucky. And he does like picking this trainer's brains, if you like. And he's highlighted that he's been running quite well in good company over a mile and 7 furlongs respectively, dropping back to 6. Your guess is as good as mine how he'll perform. He's never run over this trip before, so we're in a little bit of a dilemma with him. He has got a reasonably good draw, however, and I'd certainly respect his chances, albeit his price now doesn't probably represent value because Mr. Segal's gone for it. I'll probably put two up against him here. One of them, my number one choice, is Nero Emperor. Now, me and Gary Capel have been following this horse's fortunes in his last two runs, and to say he's been unlucky would be the understatement of the century. He should have won here 2 starts ago, and he caught the eye scything through his field when he finished fourth in a very competitive handicap. And that was over six furlongs, but he should have won that day. He just never got a clear run, never saw any daylight till very late. They dropped him back to five next time out. He got a bad draw, and he was hugely unlucky when the winner, My Good Brother, came up the standside rail, and he was marooned in the middle. Unfortunately, that might be the case again today, because he hasn't been done any favours with the draw. He's drawn seven, which is towards the middle to low stall position. You can win from a low draw here at the Cup, but it is very difficult, and you have to have probably a few pound in hand. If he was drawn high, I'd suggest he'd nearly win this. But I'm still going to have to go with him because he's definitely knocking at the door and he's got a massive cruising speed. You'll see him travelling well all the way through this race. It's just whether he's in the right place and he gets the brakes. And the other one I'd go for, because he's drawn high, is a horse called Wexford Opera. Now, he's got some really good form here at the Curra. His two runs over six furlongs this season have been very good. He's finished second and third in maidens. He finally got off the mark the other day when he was aggressively ridden down in Gowran. And he beat two useful horses, actually, in a very fast time. He beat a horse called High Net Worth, who was well-fancied, and my nap of the day, a horse called Like a Diamond, who I thought was a good thing to win that race. And he just couldn't live with this fella, who obviously has turned over a new leaf after a bit of a break he's had mid-season. He's got a good draw, as I said, drawn 23, two off the inside rail. He likes the track. He stays seven furlongs as well. I think you do need a horse that gets beyond six today here at the Curra, because they go quick in these kind of races. So I've got one from a low draw, which I think he's capable of winning, but I'm just concerned that he might not get into the race again near Emperor. But I have kept my options open, if you like, and gone for one up the stand side rail, because I always think you need at least two in these kind of races with Wexford Opera.
OK, then. So Nero Emperor and Wexford Opera, the two against the field in the 3:45. The 4:15 is the Beresford Stakes, a Group 2 contest over a mile. Exogenesis is a non-runner here, Andy. Just been pulled out, well, I think while we've been recording, actually. That leaves Geoffrey Chaucer very much at the head of the market. Oklahoma City and Altruistic look the two main dangers.
Yeah, this is the surprise betting race of the day for me. Some firms have got this Geoffrey Chaucer in at 2-5. I think they must be absolutely, totally and utterly bonkers if they think this horse is a 2-5 chance here. I think William Miller got it right, 8-13, and you'd be prepared to lay this horse at that price. I mean, what he did on debut certainly doesn't go in keeping with his reputation. He went into that race as if he'd only got to go down and come back at the Leopardstown. He was 2-7, and to be fair, he really did struggle to win that day. He was all out at the line, and he literally fell over the line in front. Now, that might not have been this horse, his best form, and the fact that he's been off the track for quite a while has probably set the alarm bells ringing in the sense that Aidan O'Brien also thought that he's not quite living up to the reputation he has at home. So he's been given a little bit of a break and brought back. I'm sure that Aidan O'Brien's pumped more work into this horse to get him a little bit sharper mentally than he was at first time out at Leopardstown. But he's up against here a horse who I think has got a massive amount of ability called Altruistic. Now, I cannot believe this horse is a 4-1, 7-2 chance this morning. I really rate this horse. He won a very good maiden at Naas in incredibly easy fashion. And he beat a filly called Sparkle Factor, who I've got a massive amount of time for. There was a fancied horse as well of Aidan O'Brien's that was back and forth that just could not go with this horse. And he was only nudged out to win as well. It wasn't as if Johnny was really hard on him. He just nursed him and nurtured him inside the final furlong or so. And the way he just strode up the hill there at Naas was a sight to behold. And he won in a decent time as well. So I just think the betting's all wrong here. I mean, I do respect Geoffrey Chaucer as a nice horse, but I do think you're buying into the reputation and the mystique surrounding this individual rather than actually what he's done on the track. And I do think Altruistic did a lot more on debut, and I just think, like I say, the price is all wrong, and I think Altruistic's a fantastic bet to top of the favourite.
OK, then, Altruistic there in the Beresford Stakes. The penultimate race on the Curra card on Sunday is a handicap over a mile at 4:50. Another very open-looking race this, Andy. Got a few more unexposed types in here, but what do you fancy?
I'm amazed. Look at the prices. I cannot believe that the price of this regulation. What has this horse got to do? He's finished second in the Irish Cambridgeshire. He won here last time out pulling a cart. He beat virtually every horse that takes him on again today very readily. And he's got a lot of horses that are running in this race. A, haven't got their ground. B, either are drawn badly or also haven't got any form at the Curra. You do need horses that act at this track here and act really well at the Curra, or you basically just don't want to turn up and you can't have them on your mind. So there's a lot of horses here that, as I said, haven't run at this track, whereas Regulation has run here seven times. He's won twice. He loves fast ground. The only slight niggle I've got is he hasn't got a particularly good draw. I think the lower the better here, but I do think he can offset that because he's such a good track specialist. Okay, he's got 10 stone 3, but if you look at the bare facts, he's actually only £4 higher than he won here last time out, and he won with more in hand than the official margin suggests for me, the way he was going on at the line. I do think Campanology is the danger, but I don't know why he's 5-1, 11-2, and regulation 7-1. I think it's between the two powerhouses at this track. They love the track, both of them, and I do think regulation 7-1 is a fantastic bet.
Okay then, regulation in the 450. The final race on the card is the 520. It's the Loch Brown Stakes. If listed contest over 2 miles, it's the 520, and we have got Eye of the Storm in as favourite. But I don't know about you, Andy. I think this is quite a short price.
It is, yeah. This is more open than the market suggests here. I'm not knocking Eye of the Storm because he's a horse on the upgrade, and I think he'll stay the trip okay as well. He was given a really good ride, a cute ride by Jose O'Brien the other day. He kind of like press ganged Inish Mean, my selection, down the back straight. He kind of got first run on him, and he didn't allow Dennis Hogan's Charge to get back into the race because he just did him for a turn of foot, and he couldn't get back the runner-up. So that was hats off to Joseph. Prior to that, the same happened to Joseph O'Brien at Galway when Miss United got first run on him, and arguably Joseph was caught napping a little bit on this horse, who was a little bit rusty after a long period off the track. With those two runs under his belt, he should be cherry ripe today. As I said, I think breeding-wise and the way he runs, I think either Storm will get the trip no problem. He locks horns again with Miss United, who I think he'll beat again, to be fair. But he's got unaccompanied to deal with as well, and now she's a very, very talented mare on her day. She probably could do with a bit more cut in the ground than she's going to get this afternoon, but if there is a shower around today, that might enhance her chance. And I do think she's a decent operator here at this level. The one I'm going to go for, however, and I do think again, I've talked about prices all afternoon, and I'm amazed this horse is this price. She's been priced up on her ratings here rather than anything else, but she's got an immense amount of improvement attached into her, and that's Drifting Mist. She's been a very consistent filly this season for Mickey Halfer. Now, in the Racing Post today, the guy who's written it, Johnny Ward, says, progressive filly with major stamina question marks. Now, I actually think this is totally the opposite. I actually think she's been crying out for further than a mile and a half. If you watch her run style and the way she's been staying on in her races, the further she's gone, the better she's looked. She's almost sometimes been getting outpaced over a mile and a half by horses who've just shown a little bit more of turn of a foot. Now, this is absolutely ideal for today. 2 miles at the Curra. She ran really well last time out. But again, as I said, got outpaced by a horse with a good turn of foot called Lavento, who's a really speedy sort who's got an instantaneous turn of pace. And Drifting Miss was done for a turn of foot. So I do think today, if they make plenty of use of Drifting Miss, she'd definitely outrun her odds. I think 16-1 is a mythical price. And I expect big things of her. I think I can't see her being out the first three. I think one of the front three will underachieve. And she'll definitely get herself involved in the finish here. So Drifting Mist each way at 16-1.
Okay then, Drifting Mist in the 520. Good stuff then, Andy. Could you just sum up your picks at the Curra on Sunday and let us know what your nap is as well?
Yeah, fantastic punting card here today. I'm really strong on Seacoast in the first. If you get double figure prices about him, look no further than that beast. But have a saver on Muglietta. In the 240, very, very strong my Titania. I would have made him on nap of the day if it wasn't for Tarf Asher in the lineup. My nap of the day is Shining Emerald in the 315. I think this horse has got a huge amount of talent, and his speed figures back that up as well. I think he'll have enough to beat Guerre this afternoon. In the 345, I'd have to go 2 against the field. The badly drawn Nero Emperor is very talented, and he could win this if things go his way. And I'd have to have a little bit of a saver on Wexford Opera. In the 415, well, unbelievable price for this altruistic. I do think he's very talented, and he's got a good chance of beating Geoffrey Chaucer. 2 against the third again in the 450 would be Campanology and Regulation, but my number one choice at the prices is Regulation. And in the final race, Drifting Mist is overpriced and should be backed.
Okay then, very good. Okay Andy, good luck with those selections. Fingers crossed we can have at least a couple of winners there. And we shall talk to you soon.
Will do. Cheers Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.